The top-down approach. There are at least two major problems scientists have been facing for decades that have impeded their efforts to create robots: pattern recognition and common sense. Robots can see much better than we can, but they don't understand what they see. Robots can also hear much better than we can, but they don't understand what they hear. To attack these twin problems, researchers have tried to use the top-down approach to artificial intelligence, sometimes called the formalist school, or GoFi, for good old-fashioned AI. Their goal, roughly speaking, has been to program all the rules of pattern recognition and common sense onto a single CD. By inserting this CD into a computer, they believe, the computer would suddenly become self-aware and attain human-like intelligence. In the 1950s and 1960s, great progress was made in this direction, with the creation of robots that could play checkers and chess, do algebra, pick up blocks, and so forth. Progress was so spectacular that predictions were made that in a few years, robots would surpass humans in intelligence. At the Stanford Research Institute in 1969, for example, the robot Shaky created a media sensation. Shaky was a small PDP computer placed above a set of wheels with a camera on top. The camera was able to survey a room, and the computer would analyze and identify the objects in that room and try to navigate around them. Shaky was the first mechanical automaton that could navigate in the real world, prompting journalists to speculate about when robots would leave humans in the dust. But the shortcomings of such robots soon became obvious. The top-down approach to artificial intelligence resulted in huge, clumsy robots that took hours to navigate across a special room that contained only objects with straight lines, that is, squares and triangles. If you placed irregularly shaped furniture in the room, the robot would be powerless to recognize it. Ironically, a fruit fly, with a brain containing only about 250,000 neurons and a fraction of the computing power of these robots, can effortlessly navigate in three dimensions, executing dazzling loop-the-loop maneuvers, while these lumbering robots get lost in two dimensions. The top-down approach soon hit a brick wall. Steve Grand, director of the CyberLife Institute, says that approaches like this had 50 years to prove themselves and haven't exactly lived up to their promise. In the 1960s, scientists did not fully appreciate the enormity of the work involved in programming robots to accomplish even simple tasks, such as programming a robot to identify objects such as keys, shoes, and cups. As Rodney Brooks of MIT said, 40 years ago, the Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at MIT appointed an undergraduate to solve it over the summer. He failed, and I failed on the same problem in my 1981 PhD thesis. In fact, AI researchers still cannot solve this problem. For example, when we enter a room, we immediately recognize the floor, chairs, furniture, tables, and so forth. But when a robot scans a room, it sees nothing but a vast collection of straight and curved lines, which it converts to pixels. It takes an enormous amount of computer time to make sense out of this jumble of lines. It might take us a fraction of a second to recognize a table, but a computer sees only a collection of circles, ovals, spirals, straight lines, curly lines, corners, and so forth. After an enormous amount of computing time, a robot might finally recognize the object as a table. But if you rotate the image, the computer has to start all over again. In other words, robots can see, and in fact they can see much better than humans, but they don't understand what they are seeing. Upon entering a room, a robot would see only a jumble of lines and curves, not chairs, tables, and lamps. Our brain unconsciously recognizes objects by performing trillions upon trillions of calculations when we walk into a room, an activity that we are blissfully unaware of. The reason that we are unaware of all our brain is doing is evolution. If we were alone in the forest with a charging saber-toothed tiger, we would be paralyzed if we were aware of all the computations necessary to recognize the danger and escape. For the sake of survival, all we need to know is how to run. When we lived in the jungle, it simply was not necessary for us to be aware of all the ins and outs of our brains recognizing the ground, the sky, the trees, the rocks, and so forth.